Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first ever podcast of the Provincial Priory of Durham. I decided to set this podcast up because, as you all know, we aren't meeting as regularly as we should be, and although restrictions are starting to ease a little, it seems as though, to me, that it's going to be some time before normal business is resumed, and I thought it might be an idea to set up a podcast so that we can learn about past, present and future of Knights Templar, the history of the Order and how it relates to us in Durham. So the first podcast I bring you today is really right from the very start, and the first question we need to ask ourselves is there actually any link between the First Templars and Freemasonry? To judge by the spate of books in recent years on what's an obvious, intriguing subject, it would seem that there are not only a sizable number of authors who think that the answer is yes, there is, but also I believe that there's a public out there who want to know whether that actually is the case. Whether you consider the romantic ideas linked with the Knights Templar since the appearance of Ivanhoe, the popular novel by Sir Walter Scott, the view that the two orders might be linked has had much to commend to its popular taste. The possibility that a noble and much misunderstood society of warrior monks should have lived on in secret after their apparent dissolution in and after 1307 is something, surely a very likely basis for the emergency of the secret organisation to which we belong. That thesis has all the characteristics of modern whodunits: ample motive, hidden perpetrators, clues, and only very careful investigation can unravel the enough evidence which can point to the final solution. Proving the connection between the Knights of old and today's murky Masonic brethren is surely a recipe for a momentary bestseller. But what are actually the facts in the matter? Certainly some Freemasons of the 18th century began to consider a possible new development. It was that could be quite a natural transition from the Builder Warriors, who, following their return from their exile in Babylon, were armed with trowel and sword in order to erect a new temple in Jerusalem to replace the old. Having been mentioned in the traditional history that was preserved in the old charges of the stonemason guilds, their very purpose and presence in the Holy Land led naturally to the idea of Masonic knighthood, using the honoured titles of Templar and Hospitaller. By the 1750s, there are certainly indications in Ireland that Red Cross and other knightly grades were being created. By the 1770s, in England, we have the earliest evidence of a Masonic order that bears the name of Knights Templar. It would thus appear that on the face of it, there were those who saw some kind of connection between the two bodies. What matters is just the nature of what that connection might be. That there was any direct or even residual link on a personal or organisational kind with the original Templars over a period of 450 years is highly unlikely, and as far as I'm aware, without a shred of serious evidence to prove it. Moreover, it has been acknowledged that the Roman Catholic authorities have always been insistent that there is not and never has been any historic connection between their still existent Knights of Malta and any Masonic order. Those then who claim that there are such links have much to prove. What, of course, is claimed by some is that while there are not any direct actual links to Templar or Malta Knights, there is a clear similarity of ideas and symbol. If that is what's being claimed, then the question still has to be answered is, by whom and how did the transference of these features take place? Was it merely coincidence, or was it that it was those who were involved? Granted that there is much resemblance of features, and at this point there may appear to be a possible solution, though no one to my knowledge has yet investigated this suggestion fully. Could it be that any link between those knightly orders and accepted Freemasonry was not one created by the knights, but by traditions handed out by stonemasons that they employed. One important fact that can be easily overlooked because of the Cistercian monks and hence the Templars who were an offshoot of them, purposely built their properties in the most remote places at that time. They were permitted to maintain their own stonemasons as lay brothers in their house. For the monks to have to rely on passing or travelling masons would have been too hazardous, and therefore Templar masons were part of the whole outfit. The next question then is, to whom did the masons and any descendants turn for employment after 1307, when the Templars were disbanded? Many would be taken in by the Cistercians or Hospitallers, and they could serve under the houses which were then dissolved in 1536/1537. At that point, some of those monastic stonemasons could become guild masons in the nearby cities of England. If all this is so, then we do have a viable connection that can be understood and even studied. What that now needs is somebody who can apply himself to the task. That is the first short podcast. I would like to continue with these on a weekly basis if I get the interest from you all. And next week's cast will follow a continuance, and we will go through the setting up of the order, the history, until we get into present day, and eventually we'll look forward and to see what Knight Templar Masonry has to offer us in the future. Thank you very much for all those who've listened, and please tune in for next week's broadcast. Thank you all.